You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Program. We've got Ellie Gray and DJ Champion from the band Certainty who are coming through to have a chat about the band's self-titled debut EP. Good morning to both of you. How are we doing on this fine Wednesday morning?
Ata Marie, thanks for having us.
Of course.
I'm chill, man. I'm super chill. In fact, really good. I watched the new 28 Years Later film last night. And it's good.
Nice. Spooky scary.
Very spooky scary. Yeah.
It's too scary for me.
Real.
But I love it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Will you be going to see that, DJ? Is it up your alley?
I haven't seen the first one yet.
So. Oh, really?
I remember the old one, the 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Then whatever the other, next one
Weeks
was.
Later.
Weeks Later. Yeah. But I haven't seen the one that they like. That's pretty close.
They skipped,
last year, this year.
They skipped months. They just went straight from weeks to years, which kind of annoys me.
That kills me. That's
It's not lore accurate, actually.
It's a metaphor for the acceleration of time.
Yeah, true.
Ooh.
True.
Actually, you guys, sorry. I haven't even seen it, you know, and I fucking get that.
No swearing in the server, please.
Actually.
Oh, man. So we're here to talk about this EP. Before we do that, I want to know, do you guys have good holidays? Good festive seasons?
I was sick for like 4 weeks.
Really?
Glange fever? Team, and please don't go places if you're ill, because then it makes me sick, and it makes me so sad.
Mm. Understandable.
Yeah. Mm. But I also went to Whakatū, and I saw a Kotare, and that was really exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, DJ?
Mine was pretty damn awesome. I travelled around the North Island for a month with my wife, Lucy.
My
wife. And
shout out to Lucy.
Yay. Had a wonderful time seeing friends, doing parties, and sleeping in a lot.
Doing parties. Whoa.
Yeah, you
got to
do the parties.
You do the party, bro. This guy knows how to rock the party.
With a name like DJ Champion.
Yeah, I do the parties, bro. What was the highlight of the North Island for you?
Ooh. I'd have to say, like, lazing on a beach, just with the sun, like, in the air, sparkles in the water, and just, like, relaxing sounds of nature around, and just, like, lazing, and that slight in and out of, like, slight consciousness as you're, like, falling asleep. That was one of the highlights for sure.
Awesome.
Whale Beach up in Northland. That was where we were, this cute little tiny bay. It was,
Are there actual mini whales there?
No, I don't know why it's called Whale Bay.
Oh, that's a bit sad.
Yeah.
Now, you all have known each other for quite some time. I don't know if you're still in doing music stuff these days, but I know you've both been in the music community in Otepoti for a long time. This project, Certainty, kind of began or was supposed to release in 2017. So I want to know, how did you all meet and how did Certainty come about? How did you all link up?
I don't remember how we met. I know, though, that DJ's old band, Thunder Cub, I was like Thunder Cub. I was
freaking
so
Thunder Cub.
Thunder Cub rules. Thunder Cub, best fucking band. I'd see them play a bunch of times, was really into it. And then I wanted to start a new band. I already had a couple. And I wanted somebody to play keys.
Yeah.
And I just got... Please fact check me on this, but I think I just got in touch with DJ and was like, we already maybe kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
We were already friends?
Yeah.
Can you take over?
So. No, I mean, like, well, this is the thing. I think my memory is, like, kind of along the similar veins as yours. You know, it kind of, like, spreads out over time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, we knew each other, I think, through Radio 1 and other bits and pieces around town as well. Maybe through Abe as well, through your brother.
Oh, yeah, through my brother.
Yeah. But then, I remember you reaching out and being like, hey, I like what you're doing in Thunder Cub. Do you want to do something completely different and play keys for me in this cute folk band? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. That'd be lovely.
Yeah. And then we started playing some gigs, and I think I already knew that I wanted to record the EP and probably already knew that DJ could do that stuff and or just asked him. Mm. And then we recorded it at his house. Mm. He did all the mixing and mastering. The band is ourselves and then Ro Rushton Green.
Yes, absolutely.
The legend in Shewid.
Piecemeal.
Yeah, Piecemeal. And also was in one of my other bands at that time, Terrified.
Mm.
They would play with us sometimes when we'd be a three-piece.
Mm.
Yeah, and we had a cute time.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Was there much kind of folky stuff happening back then? In the mid-late 2010s?
There was a bit, but honestly, that it was almost kind of its own scene, a more kind of like country-y, folky thing that was a little bit separate.
Mm.
When we were playing gigs, we were mostly playing with, I don't know, like maybe Astro Children and... Pearl Hotel. We were playing with like more indie people.
And then we also did one of the library gigs as well.
Nook and Cranny Fest.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nook and Cranny Fest. That was awesome. They'd put bands all over the library for like a whole day.
That ended relatively recently too. I feel like I remember that happening in the 2020s.
All right. So it could come back after COVID.
Potentially, yeah. That's good.
It was awesome. We played Battle of the Bands too down at Refuel.
Nice.
Really, you know, folk music.
Yeah.
Battle heavy.
Oh man! So the EP was supposed to come out in 2017, but it didn't because of poor mental health. Before I ask what was going on in your head, where you convinced yourself you couldn't put it out, what do you guys make of the sort of 2016 nostalgia craze happening at the moment? I mean, it seems like it's kind of, you know, looking at the past with a bit of a very tinted glasses now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an intrinsic part of nostalgia, right? I think it's pretty funny to me to finally be old enough to see a period of my life when I was, like, pretty sentient kind of come back around on the nostalgia wheel.
Mm.
10 years doesn't feel like a very long time to me, but I understand how, you know, for people in their 20s, you know, that's like half your life. That's a really long time.
Your life.
Yeah, thanks. It was a quick sidebar. We tried to watch that the other day. It's fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. We had to turn it off after like 5 minutes. It's so bad. It's just like so many rape jokes. Jesus Christ. Really transphobic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think, you know, nothing is ever how it actually is when you're looking back on it through a nostalgic lens, you know?
Mm.
You mean you don't see it with certainty?
Ah!
Hey.
No, you don't.
This
you don't.
Guy.
What do you think, DJ?
Thanks. I mean, being someone who's now like over 40 and thinking back 10 years and being like, oh, wow, people are nostalgic for that time.
Mm.
I don't know, I feel like nostalgia used to be a bit longer, but I guess like time, as you were saying before, is kind of accelerating and stretched
in
weird kind of ways. Yeah. And I don't think it is just being older that's doing it. I think younger people are feeling that pinch too, just with like technical sort of like overload and just like this continual roll forward of everything going on. Like,
yeah, I've seen 6-year-olds on TikTok and Instagram complain about like, I miss my childhood so much. It's like, oh my God, you're 6 years old.
Wow.
The brutal acceleration, though, and like technology and trend cycles and stuff, to me, it's really interesting to be nostalgic for a time that, like, you know, that was when Trump got elected for the first time. Like, that was, it's pretty horrendous, actually, that things are kind of so much worse now globally on like a kind of macro scale that we can be nostalgic for a time that I remember being actually very traumatic globally, you know?
Mm.
Like so devastated when Trump first got elected, you know, and we didn't even know that now those would seem like the salad days.
True.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's that feeling of wanting to return to pre-COVIDness, I guess, as well.
Definitely.
Pre-Trumpness.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sort of.
Well, and I actually think that when people are nostalgic for 2016, they're actually nostalgic for 2012 to 2014.
Yeah.
genuinely, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what people are wanting to get to.
Yeah. Mm. Has it been pinpointed to a specific year at the moment, has it? Like, you said, like, 2016, like, you hit it with an arrow.
2016
kind of thing, you know?
Like, has always been, like, kind of in the rear vision of a lot of internet dwellers. It's the year where, like, Frank Ocean dropped Blonde, the last Kanye album came out, the last great Kanye album came out. There was that really good... I'm not sure if you're familiar with XXL Freshman Class.
No.
Okay, that's an XXL Freshman Class. That was really, really awesome.
Okay.
I feel like it's a lot of people's like early fun teenage years as well.
Yeah.
Especially for Gen Z. So Gen Z has quite a lot of affinity for 2016.
Yeah.
I don't particular. Wasn't my favorite year.
How old were you in 2016?
16.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Which was a bit tricky. But anyway, I want to get back to the EP. You know, it didn't get put out. It's been parked in the shed for like 9-ish years. Mm-hmm. You know, why? What was going on that you didn't really feel comfortable doing it? With anxiety, self-confidence? What was going on?
Big self-confidence things. And this is, you know, this is totally on me. it was my responsibility to release it, and I am 100% the reason why it didn't happen. Yeah, I was kind of in a couple other bands at the time, was, you know, kind of living a pretty public life and also just going through some pretty intense unpicking of, like, really deep historical trauma.
Mm.
So quite, you know, a little bit woo and not super connected to reality. And one of the things of reality that I wasn't connected to was my sense of self. And I just thought that I was, I don't know, I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. My songwriting is horrendous. My singing is awful. Why would anybody ever want to hear this? This is like the worst thing ever. And it, to me, it's a really interesting experience, you know, to kind of have these moments of reflection where you realize how kind of disconnected or how much your perception of reality can change. Because I listen to the songs now and they're fantastic, you know. They're beautiful. Voice sounds awesome. My songwriting is great. Yeah, and it's just a completely diametrically opposite view that I have of it now. Yeah, but I think that, you know, being kind of in my mid-20s and particularly going through, yeah, such a kind of deep, like, trauma-based experience, you know, that affects every part of your life. And when so much of my life was centered around kind of unpicking these horrendous experiences, that was just like a veil through which I sort of experienced everything. And I'm so thankful to, you know, be a bit on the other side of that now and be able to feel kind of more lucid and, yeah, more connected to myself and more connected to, yeah, a collective reality.
Awesome. Yeah. What was your sort of reaction when you found out that the EP wouldn't come out, DJ? Were you like, oh, okay, that's chill?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, like, quite water personality, so I kind of fit the mold of sort of whatever's given to me. And so, you know, Eliana, I know, was like, hey, look, you know, at the moment I've got these other things going on, we'll get around to it, and I knew that you would. Yeah, I knew that we would, and, you know, we were just waiting for the, like, the nostalgia of the 2016s to come back to release it into, so that it would be, you know, pertinent now.
Because I don't actually think I told you, like, why I didn't want to release it at the time. I think I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get to it.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you also had, you know, you were in Jagger's X Lines, which was taking off at the time as well, and you were busy doing shows with them, and so I was like, yeah, cool, you know, it'll get around to it. And, I mean, you know, this is not the first project as well that I've been in that sort of stuff is stalled and it takes time to get out there. I mean, we've still got an unreleased Thunder Cub EP.
You've got to release
that. You've got to release that.
What the fuck?
It's got to grow up to be a Thunder Lion.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be a Thunder Adult.
Yeah.
I understand that, like, stuff sometimes gets stalled. As I've grown older, like, I think I've realized that releasing things or work that you're doing, sometimes you're like, okay, I may not feel it right now, but, like, this is what I've done, so, like, kind of get it out. And then it can be like these moments in time. And then sometimes, you know, maybe that just didn't get released at that time, and this is still a moment in time of, you know, back in the middle of 2010s that we did this. So that's yeah, absolutely fine.
Completely.
I mean, yeah, I wish I knew that you were going through so much of the time, you know. It's been
it's really interesting though that, like, I could be feeling like that about this project and, you know, still out there kind of like playing gigs and, you know, even gigs that we played. I released one of the tracks as a single back in 2017. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting, you know, the way that we can kind of fracture ourselves so much. And I could have felt like I was able to sort of project that confidence for different performances. But for, I think, a project like this, where maybe my voice was kind of less hidden behind sick beats, you know?
It's very, very bare and open.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit more vulnerable.
That's the word I was after.
Yeah. yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. But by the same token, I think it's so important to just release that, you know?
Completely.
And, yeah.
There's one track I want to hone in on here, called Getting Older, which gets into a lot of themes about, you know, fearing, you know, death and aging. Are those things that still sort of nag you?
No, not at all. No, in a really deep way, absolutely not.
Great.
Aging is
great.
The best thing of my life. I'm so thankful for it. I'm like 36 now. I can't wait to hit 40. I feel like that's when stuff's going to get even better.
I can't wait to hit 80.
Oh, my God.
You know, here all the time.
But
it'd be great.
Straight up, it just gets better, you know, because it's like you know yourself more.
Yeah, completely.
You give less of a crap of like what other people think. I'm like, don't have to go to therapy anymore, you know, just like so much more mentally stable and happier with a much more solid, enjoyable life. Rock and roll.
I've been lucky to always feel like I've been the right age, which has been great. You know, I see a lot of people sometimes in their 20s or 30s being like, God, I wish I could go back to like high school in my 20s. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I had that and that was great. And like, you know, there were some rough times, but like, I still feel like right now I'm the right age.
Completely.
And there may be some sort of worry about getting older, but it's more so maybe less about me and like more about like friends and family around me, you know, knowing that like your time is sort of dwindling somewhat with them. But then it just means that you get to make the time that you have with them all that more important.
Completely.
Be like, oh, hey, how about we don't just rot in front of the TV and we go for a walk and talk about some stuff.
I often think that, you know, in your early 20s, you're having parties every week, if not like every day for some people in Dunedin on Castle Street. And that can be really fun. And I thought I had a great time doing that. I had a great time abusing my body back in those days. Yeah, hell yeah. But, you know, even though that was all fun, I think you trade it for a little bit more boredom. But with that boredom comes so much more ontological security. You know yourself a lot more. You're also less of a punisher. You know,
Well, with boredom as well, you can kind of create structure too, which I think is important, you know, like being like, oh, I know what my week's going to kind of look like, and I can like structure myself around that week.
Very true.
And with that, you can still add in, and sweet, I am going to go to a party on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know? Like, doesn't mean you can stop partying.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I feel like the difference now is that you can do life with an awareness of your needs. Like when I was kind of in my 20s, I was just uncomfortable all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, pushing through that with substances and being really busy and, you know, filling my life up with people and their stuff. Just as a way to try and ameliorate or soothe or get away from that just constant sense of discomfort.
Mm.
And now I'm aware of what makes me uncomfortable and, you know, what doesn't, and I can follow that as opposed to just kind of stumbling around blind and, like, high most of the time.
So do you think, like, the name certainty stemmed from, like, your wantingness of sort of certainty of life, of things, you know, rather than actually having had that at the time, being like, I want certainty in my life, but I know I don't have it?
110%, 110%. And I think also, like, the conscious way I was doing it when I named the band was, my first band was called Terrified, because that was pretty self-explanatory. And I really wanted us to just be able to, like, get up on stage and be like, hi, everybody, we're Terrified, and then play the songs. And so then Certainty was the second band that I made, I think, and that was a contrast to actually, funnily, feeling more confident in my ability to be a musician. In my other band, Terrified, which we actually also have an unreleased album that I'm going to release this year.
Yo.
But I was really reliant on my bandmate, Nico, and really kind of put him in a, like, hierarchical position to me in terms of, oh, he's the one who knows how to be a musician. He knows how to do this. And then with Certainty, I felt like I was able to take more control. And feel confident to sort of say, hey, do you want to start a band? This is what we're going to do. These are the songs. And it's really hilarious to me that is one of the projects that I was like, oh no, I definitely can't release that. That would be crazy.
But it's because I guess you had like almost like, you know, this is my band, you know, as I'm talking about like you being you. Not my band, your band. You know. but then you're like, oh, when you're the head of it, right? And this is like, oh, well then I'm kind of responsible for all of the things around this, right? Even though like you're not, because there was all of us involved as well, but I can still see it as being like, well, these are my ideas and, you know, you're like thinking and all of that. So I can understand it's got to be scary to be like, well, here you go.
Totally.
Hey gang, we're just running short on time here. Sorry, we've got another chat coming up at 10:30. Thank you so much for coming on. I want to know, do you have any shows coming up very, very quickly?
We don't, but maybe we will.
Yeah, I reckon we can.
We'll
do.
Let you know if we Alrighty. Do.
Cool, we'll see you on the gig go then.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations do you want to leave our lovely listeners with?
Share your stuff if you want to. Don't let yourself not share it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. People will love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some people won't. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like, it's your stuff. Get it out there.
Yeah.
The people who love it will tell you.
Somebody, it will always be important to someone. You know, someone will always have an experience with it, whether that's you or somebody else.
Mm.
Art is a gift to the world, and it should be in it.
Yeah.
Completely. Sure. All right. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Cheers, yo. That was DJ Champion and Eli Gray from Certainty. We're talking about their new self-titled debut EP, which is out on Bandcamp. We're going to play the track Older, I think. It's very, very fitting. And then at 10:30, we'll be joined by Beck Runge to talk about her latest track, Red Sunset. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
It's been said, death is a hard act to follow. So be careful to look where I lead. I never had fear of getting older.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.